right. Thank you, Vicky. Good morning, church. If we haven't met before, my name's Ben, and I'm on the staff team here. Pete mentioned before it's school holidays, so that means that we're doing our holiday series, Little Story, Big Story, and we're looking at how many of the little stories fit into the much bigger story that is the Bible. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, there is so much that we can learn from your word, so many stories, and they all fit together in the bigger story that is your Bible. Be with us now as we explore your word together and help us to see how it points to your son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week, Pete helped us to look at Abraham and the promises that God had made to him. And this week, we're looking at Moses. Now, I wonder, and I'm going to open this up to everyone, this is kids and bigger kids, when you think of that Moses story, what sort of things come to mind? Feel free to call them out. No one knows anything about the Moses story. Nothing? Kids? Baby in the basket, Pete's out at the front, anything else? Plagues, yep. Yeah. Lots of people drowning. Yeah, there's lots of different things that make up this story. And even looking at the Bible readings that we heard from Vicky just before, like there's 11 chapters in between those two readings. So even this little story is actually quite a massive story. And we don't have time to go through it all today. But what I'm going to try and do is give you a bit of a highlights reel. You know, like when you're watching your favourite Netflix show and it pops up at the start and it says previously on, and you know, it kind of recaps what's happened so far. That's what I'm going to try and do here. We're going to try and catch up and figure out where we are in the big story of the Bible. So Abraham's family, God's people that we heard about last week, they'd grown and they'd made their way to Egypt and they'd become this very large family. And as time went on, a new pharaoh came into power, and this pharaoh didn't really like God's people. He threw them into slavery. They got whipped, they got beaten, they got worked harder and harder until enough was enough, and they cried out to God for them to be rescued. God had promised Abraham that he would look after his chosen people. And if we remember back to last week, God, he delivers on his promises. He provided Abraham with a family, and so God would again keep his promise. So in comes this guy called Moses. Moses is confronted by God through a burning bush that we read about in Exodus 3. And he's given this task to free God's people from slavery. And it wasn't an easy task. Moses, he had doubts. He had doubts about whether he was the man for the job, about confronting Pharaoh, about trying to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But God reassured Moses that he would be with him every step of the way. So off Moses goes to see Pharaoh, and he says to him, God says, let his people go free. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Why should I? I don't want to, so I'm not going to. And he didn't. So God then gave Pharaoh 10 warnings, 10 plagues to try and get Pharaoh to change his mind. Turned the water in the River Nile to blood. He sent frogs, flies, this horrible sickness. There was boils, then these massive hailstones, storm of locusts. And each time, God gave Pharaoh a chance to respond. And Pharaoh would respond and say, well, if you make this stop, then I'll let them go. So God would make it stop. But then Pharaoh would change his mind. Actually, no, you can't have them. So finally, Moses warns Pharaoh, obey God or he will have to send the worst thing of all. The oldest boy in each family of Egypt must die, but my family will be safe. And Pharaoh just laughs. So Moses instructed his people to paint above their doors with the blood of their best lambs, so that when God passed over Egypt, he would see the blood and spare his people. So that night, God did what he said he was going to do. He killed the oldest boy in each family, including Pharaoh's own son. And Pharaoh shouted, "Get out. Get out. Just go." So that night, God's people, they did just that. They fled Egypt and they fled the slavery that they'd been in for so long. They were free. So that's a bit of a recap, and it brings us up to where we're going to sort of focus our time on today. We've seen God's people thrown into this slavery, and then this sort of back and forth between Moses and God and Pharaoh, and now finally they're heading out of Egypt. Or are they? Through this whole process, we've seen Pharaoh sort of and change his mind, and it got me thinking about some other times in history where we've seen big flips on decisions. Now, I don't claim to know a lot about politics or politicians, but I do feel like we see this a lot in politics. You know, politicians saying that one thing's going to happen and then doing the opposite. It can be quite frustrating. It can leave us a bit unsure, a bit confused. And God's people would have felt quite frustrated at Pharaoh as well. Are we going? Yes. Oh, no, we're not going now. Oh, and now we are going. Oh, but we're not going. Make up your mind, Pharaoh. Despite all of that, God's people, they've left Egypt and they're feeling quite scared. They're confused. They're a bit unsure. They've headed out into the wilderness not knowing the way. But God knew the way. And he's guiding them towards the new home that he's promised them. God led them by day by this pillar of cloud, and by night a pillar of fire so that his people could have light and they could travel by either day or night. As all this is going on, back in Egypt, Pharaoh is told that the people have fled. And there's this discussion between him and his officials. And we hear about it in verse 5 of chapter 14. What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and we've lost their services. Get my slaves back. And just like that, Pharaoh's army, along with every chariot that they had, they left Egypt in pursuit of the Israelites. It's very much a you don't know what you've got until it's gone sort of situation here. We've just heard it. We let them go and we've lost their services. Pharaoh didn't want to give up his free labor force. So away they go to try and get the Israelites back. And it's not long before Pharaoh's army catches up to the Israelites. And at this point, the Israelites, they've reached the Red Sea. So you can imagine the reaction that they had, seeing this group of Egyptian chariots galloping towards them. They were terrified. They started to panic. They started to question why Moses had brought them out into the desert. Had he brought them all out here to die? They were stuck at the edge of the Red Sea, seemingly with nowhere to go. So again, they cried out to God. And Moses reassures them that God will make a way. And make a way he does. We mentioned this at the start. He does this amazing, incredible thing. And it's one of the most well-known parts of the Moses story. Kids, do you know the part I'm talking about? Anyone? Yes, parting of the sea. With God's help, Moses parts the sea and the Israelites are able to escape from Pharaoh. The wind blows to the left and it blows to the right, and the sea parts ways, revealing dry ground for them to walk across. It's not even wet ground, like it's dry ground. And I think it's really important to pause at this point and just marvel at the sheer size of God's power. You know, we've gone from Israelites that are panicking, they're terrified, they're questioning their choices, they're questioning Moses, and then literally witnessing the ocean split and making these two giant walls of water that are now towering over them. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. When you read that story, how can you not just go, wow? God's made a way for his people to be free from the slavery of Egypt. But the story doesn't end there. Far from it. The Red Sea's parted, but the Egyptians, they're still chasing after them. Every chariot in Egypt is galloping towards them, ready to drag them back into that life of slavery, or worse. But God came through on his promise to look after his people. As the chariots pursued them, God jammed their wheels and made them difficult to steer. As the Israelites had reached the other side and to safety, Moses stretches out his hand and the sea goes back to its place, sweeping the Egyptian army away in the process. The Israelite people are finally free. And if you continue reading on into chapter 15, you see the Israelites breaking into song, rejoicing to God, thanking him for saving them. The Israelites were able to trust that God would protect them and come through in freeing them from their slavery. They were free. Now, this idea of slavery, it's something that keeps popping up throughout the Bible. But I think it's especially important when we get to the New Testament. Jesus is talking to a group of Jews in John's Gospel. Jesus' followers are reflecting on their history, and Jesus is explaining to them that they are truly his disciples if they remain faithful to his teachings. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This creates a bit of confusion for his disciples, because they were Jewish disciples. And they hear this, and they're going, and we see it in John 8, but we're descendants of Abraham, and we've never been slaves to anyone. So what do you mean we'll be free? They're thinking, we're descendants of Abraham, God's rescued us, we're Israelites, he rescued us out of Egypt, out of that slavery that we had to Pharaoh. So Jesus then explains in verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in my family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus is the Son. We are the sinners. But through Jesus, because of Jesus, we can have freedom from slavery. Now, it's one thing to hear that or even just to know about it, but what are you going to do about it? If we come back to that visual of the Red Sea, it's so powerful. It makes for a nice illustration for us of life as a Christian. Because, you know, we can give our lives to Christ, but it's not all smooth sailing. There are temptations, there are evils. We look back on that life of slavery to sin sometimes, and it looks good. But just like the Israelites, when they were standing at the edge of the Red Sea, they're looking back at the Egyptians and thinking, why did you bring us out here to die? Surely we would have been better off in Egypt, where we had everything that we needed. There's freedom right in front of them at this point if they put their trust in God. But they're looking back at that life of slavery while they're scared, while they're unsure, and they're thinking that it looks really good. And it looks better than what's in front of them. And I think we often do that as Christians. Things get hard, or it gets hard following Jesus, and we look at sin. We look at things like that, and we think that they look really good. Yeah, it might be something in your work environment, you know, because there's people around you that you find yourself doing things or saying things that you know maybe a Christian really shouldn't. It might be, you know, exposure to stuff on social media or something on the TV. Things that might look really good to you, and so sin starts to look really good, and it tries to drag us back into this slavery. And often they look really good to us, and we end up thinking that that's what we really want. But the truth is, we've been set free from that stuff. So I want to try something with you now. I'm going to throw this picture up on the screen that Steph Pumper's kindly drawn for me. And so for us as people, and not even just as Christians, just people in general, I think we find ourselves at different points in this story. Even for Christians, it's true, isn't it? There'll be those of us that follow Jesus. Our trust is in God, and as soon as that sea parts, we are over there. We trust him. But then there'll be those of us that are on our way, We don't necessarily know what will be waiting for us on the other side, but we're on the journey. Then there's these guys on the shoreline up the front here. And some of these guys, they're umming and they're ahhing, and they can see the path to Jesus. They can see the path to salvation, but they can also see their past chasing after them. And they're still not quite sure. And some of them are just running around like headless chooks trying to decide. So they haven't taken that leap yet. And even for Christians, I think sometimes we might feel like we're back there on the shoreline. We've been rescued, we've been saved, but we're starting to look back as though we're on the other side. We're looking at that sin again and we're thinking that it's really good. And we're letting sin drag us back in. Then there's these guys here. Sure, they're with the group. They've made it to the shoreline. But there's just something about where they've come from. And sure, it's not ideal, but it's familiar. It's comfortable. And it seems easier to go back to that past life that they knew than take the leap on something that they don't know. So I wonder where you're sitting right now. Are you already across? Are you looking back? Or are you maybe still standing on that shoreline? If you are standing on that shoreline and you're unsure what to do next, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust that he can set you free from that slavery to sin. We're running our Jesus and Introduction course again this term, and it's a great opportunity to come along and learn a little bit about Jesus. And if you're willing, take that next step towards following him. And following Jesus it's hard. If you're here and you follow Jesus, then you know that. You know it's hard. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. But the reward is that we've been set free from sin, and we know that we have freedom from our slavery to sin. And so when sin's trying to drag us back in, we need to remind ourselves of the truth that we've been set free from that stuff. Helps to remind ourselves, hey, don't get dragged back into that. I've been set free from that. God's dealt with that for me. Just like he did with the Egyptians, that stuff's it's been destroyed through Jesus. He destroyed all of that stuff, so it has no power over us. And we need to celebrate that, because knowing that you have freedom from our slavery to sin, it makes it all worthwhile. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we have seen today another example of how powerful, how mighty, and how loving you are. We've seen you rescue your people from slavery, from physical slavery, but also slavery to sin. It's because of you and because of your Son that we can say that we have freedom. So I pray here today that you're working in us, softening hearts, standing in the way of those sins and temptations, and helping us to put our faith and our trust in you, to take that leap and follow you. And we pray this in your Son's mighty name. Amen.